From NPR News, it's All Things Considered. I'm Noah Adams.
And I'm Linda Wertheimer. U.S. military strikes against terrorists in Afghanistan and elsewhere look increasingly certain, but top defense officials are starting to signal that an attack is not imminent. NPR's David Malpas reports that war planners are still piecing together the complexities of how and when to fight in what's being called a new kind of war.
A senior defense official speaking on background says the war on terrorism won't be primarily military. And the deputy secretary of defense says everybody who is waiting for military action needs to rethink this thing. Today, the top Pentagon official, Donald Rumsfeld, wouldn't discuss timetables, but neither did he quarrel with a reporter's characterization of the U.S. effort as creeping towards war rather than leaping into it.
We are determined to try to do this right, to put in place the capabilities and the architectures and the process that will enable us to proceed in an orderly way over a period, sustained period of time. And my impression is that you're right. We're not leaping into this. We're moving into it in a measured way.
To a large extent, defense sources say political considerations are shaping and constraining military plans. As a senior military source put it, the absolute top priority is keeping the anti-terrorist coalition together. It's impossible, he says, for the U.S. to be effective on our own. Given the initial rhetoric surrounding the September 11th attack and the huge deployments of U.S. naval forces and air power, some outside observers say the administration is clearly shifting gears. George Friedman, chairman of a private intelligence firm called Stratfor.com, says war planners are coming to grips with the realities of the current situation.
I think what happened was that they started with one vision, which is a very conventional vision, and began to realize over the days and weeks that followed that implementing it is, from a logistical and a political point of view, almost impossible. And as they refined it down, they've been on a very steep learning curve.
Pakistan remains one of the big question marks for military planners. The country's leader, General Musharraf, has pledged to allow U.S. military overflights and to share intelligence. But he has sent mixed signals about whether the U.S. can launch commando-style raids from Pakistani bases. Such access could be key in hunting down the bin Laden terrorist network. And Pakistan's foreign minister says the country won't allow its territory to be used in any direct war against the Taliban rulers of Afghanistan, another significant curb on U.S. options. No matter what Pakistan pledges, analysts like George Friedman say the Pentagon is realizing that the country is too fractious to be relied on. He fears that some Pakistani military officers, acting on their own, could pose a threat to American forces.
And one of the crucial issues is that it doesn't take a whole lot of force to cut supply lines sometimes. So a rogue colonel in the Army, an Air Force commander who has some fighter interceptors under his command, could cause all sorts of havoc with our forces once deployed.
Particularly vulnerable in this scenario would be slow-flying intelligence aircraft such as Hawkeyes and AWACS, plus refueling tankers. With so many potential threats and uncertainties, sources in and out of the Defense Department say it's best to proceed slowly. War planners also may still be trying to figure out how closely they want to associate with the so-called Northern Alliance, ethnic resistance fighters battling the Taliban. Some analysts say it might be next spring before that army could be effectively married up with U.S. special forces. President Bush today reiterated that the U.S. will use its military might and called for patience. David Malpas, NPR News, Washington.